Can you see? We are amazing, you know? That was great. Well, I'm excited today because this is going to be a new Christmas pageant. I went to a concert the other day with my kids, and it was amazing. There were like a 100-piece orchestra with a choir and all this percussion and all kinds of arrangements for different carols and stuff. And the lady who sang Oh Holy Night, she was, I mean, I was just like, but then when I was thinking about it, going, yeah, but it's not night, you know? And it's so interesting because all the carols that are being played right now, everywhere you go, there's more carols. You know, one of them is God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, How Jesus Was Born on Christmas Day, right?
Yeah.
And you go, oh, no, I can't be right. But I learned something about that song, too. There's a comma after Mary instead of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. It's God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
Oh.
And it's a phrase in Britain, I guess, where it's like giving somebody good cheer or something like that. And so, and then there's always one line that's really good, like, to save us all from Satan's power, you know, to go, oh, I can sing that. So, and also, you know, all the pageants are where you have the wise men and the shepherds all together, right, with the star and everything. So I want to show you this picture. So when I was growing up, we went to church every Sunday, and I was asking my mom one day, it's like, did I ever participate in a pageant? And she went, I think you did. And I think I vaguely remember being an angel because I was tall and skinny, so I couldn't be in the back. But the shepherds are always wearing bathrobes, you know, with things on their heads. And I was looking up some, you can have fun and just go on YouTube and look up some pageants, because, like, there was this little girl. She was an angel, too, and she got to the part where the angels were supposed to speak, and she goes, shepherds, do not be afraid. And then I saw another one with a boy, you know, it's probably like 3 or 4 years old, and he had a little stuffed sheep in his hand, and he was hanging it down, so the sheep was hitting the floor. Anyway, so there's all these things that are traditions about Luke 2, and when I first learned this was probably, oh gosh, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago. And I was thinking about it, like, there's a choice we always have to make. Do we want to go with tradition, or do we want the truth? And I feel like a lot of times I'm the one who's going, but it doesn't say that, you know? And wanting to make a big deal of it. And I was talking to somebody the other day going, how come God always, like, shows me these things that are so different? And he said, well, it's because you really do seek for the truth. And a lot of times people are just willing to stay with whatever they've been taught and don't really care about it. But it's funny because then all of a sudden you'll be singing the same hymns again. Oh, silent night. And anyway, I want this today to just be something for you to consider. I call it erase, erase, erase. Like, erase the picture you have in your mind and replace it with something else. And that's, I want to show you this. This is where I got some of the things that I'm going to share. And you can see on your paper that the whole thing is the Aramaic translation. But then the highlighted parts are things that I found that are from the Old Syriac. And the Old Syriac is an earlier manuscript. There's two different manuscripts. And this one is called a palimpsest. And it was found in St. Catherine's Monastery in the desert. And the top part of the writing is about these 40 martyrs. But then a lady was visiting from England, and she saw that there was writing underneath. So they had some this kind of serum type of stuff you can put so that the underside will come up. And when she started reading it, she realized that it was older than the Peshitta. And so there's two manuscripts that they have found that are older than the Peshitta, and they are only the Gospels. So, but it's such a blessing that we actually get to have Luke 2 from this old version. Yeah, it's really neat. So we're going to read it. And it happened that in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that every nation of his jurisdiction should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment during the governorship of Quirinius in Syria. Okay, right away you see that it says the first enrollment, right? So that means there's a second one. And everyone went to a city to be enrolled. The first variant reading there is in the years of Quirinius in Syria. So I'll show you this. Quirinius or Quirinius, he was, his full name is Publius Sulpicius Quirinius. He was made governor of Syria after the banishment of Archelaus in AD 6. But in 3 BC, which is when we believe that Jesus was born because of all the star conjunctions and everything, he was actually a procurator, which means he was a personal representative of Caesar. And he had direct powers from Augustus. So he wasn't actually the governor then. And you see how the governor got in there? Because there was a census that was taken later in 6 AD where Quirinius was the governor. So they just stuck it in there. But why he was in charge of this particular enrollment was that Augustus was going to be 60 years old in the next year, in 2 BC. And he was going to receive an award called the Pater Patria, which means the father of the country. And so he wanted to demand, before he got this award, that all the citizens of the empire would give their loyalty to him and, you know, acknowledge that he was going to be the father of the country and give kind of like an oath of allegiance. So it wasn't about taxes either. It was about enrolling them to give allegiance to Caesar Augustus. And the reason I know that too is that the taxes that were collected in Israel at that time were actually given to Herod. They never went to Rome. The taxes always stayed in the country where the Roman Empire was. So that's the other thing, is it wasn't to be taxed. And so the second enrollment was when Quirinius was governor in Syria. So it fits with history too, which is really neat. When you see the truth versus the tradition, then it's like it fits together and you don't have to manufacture things, right? Okay, we'll keep on going on. So that's why that variant reading about in the years of Quirinius is correct. All right, keep going here. And Joseph also went up from Nazareth, a city of Galilee, into Judea to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and from the tribe of David. That was another reason why Caesar Augustus wanted to have this enrollment, because, like, Joseph was from a kingly family, right? And for somebody from a kingly family to give their allegiance to Caesar and acknowledge that he was the ultimate king, right? He was the best king. So that's why Joseph and Mary end up going to Bethlehem. Verse 5, and with Mary, his pregnant wife, to be enrolled there. And King James says his espoused wife, right? And a lot of the versions, even including like the NIV, it says that they were just pledged to be married. But if you go back and you read Matthew 1, and starting in verse 18, it's the record of where the angel comes and tells Joseph, take unto you Mary, your wife. So even the Gospels contradict themselves, see? Because that's what Joseph did, was he married her, and here's the verse, I can read it, Matthew 1:20. But while he was considering these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said to him, Joseph, son of David, that's pretty cool, huh? Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for he that is fathered in her is from the Holy Spirit. And that word take there is beautiful. It means to join to oneself, but also to accept or to receive as one's own. So the angel told Joseph, it's okay, you can love her, you can accept her, because what's fathered in her is from God. And so she ends up being great with child as they're going, but it's not like she's going to be having the baby on the side of the road. We get that picture too, right?
Right.
And it happened that while they were there, so while they were in Bethlehem, her days were fulfilled that she should give birth. So here's the tradition versus the truth. As the tradition is his espoused wife, and the truth is that Mary was already his wife. And the other tradition is, you know, on Christmas cards, you have Mary on the donkey and they're traveling by themselves and it's dark. And I was like, wait a minute, you don't travel in the dark and you always travel in caravans with other family. So all the other people who were of the family of David, like their aunts and uncles and grandparents and cousins, right? They were all going to the Feast of Tabernacles to celebrate it together as well as to be enrolled. So they would have been with a whole group of people. And so all of the relatives would also have been watching out for Mary being pregnant on the way. So they're not alone, okay? I love that. So she was great with child, but it wasn't like it immediate. All right. So when the time came for her to give birth, she bore her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because they had no place where they were staying. So here's the story about the inn, right? Because there's either the tradition of the inn or that he was born in a cave, either one of them. Well, the one that I know is not true is that the phrase, even in the Peshitta, is the inn part is not there. If it had been an inn, she would never have been giving birth there. Because the way they did inns in those days would be that there was a giant courtyard in the middle, and then you put all the animals in the middle, and then there would be 8 and 10 rooms empty all the way around this courtyard. And when you stayed at an inn, you brought everything with you. You brought your bedding, you brought your food, you brought pots, you brought ways to cook. I mean, there was an empty room. It's not like Motel 7 or 6. Right? There's nothing in those rooms. And so if she was giving birth out where the animals were, it would have been so confusing and lots of mooing and milling around, and it would just not have been a place that you could have a baby. So what about this manger thing then? Okay. There was no room for them. What that means is that there was not room in the houses where all the guests were staying. So you have all these people coming in, and this is the feast time too. And so the relatives who lived in Bethlehem, who were of the house of David, they would be the ones that would be hosting everyone who was coming in. And because Mary and Joseph were young, they got relegated to where the to where the animals were. And the animals were kept in a separate room, like attached to the house, but not the main room. The main room would have been for the adults to lay their pallets out, and other, you know, people that were visiting took precedence over Mary and Joseph. So they were staying in where the animals were kept. And that's why Jesus ends up being put in the manger. They clean the manger out too, right? No one just stick a newborn baby in with a bunch of straw, right? It would be like softening it with a blanket and making it comfortable. So here are some of the things that are the traditions. The tradition is that it's in an inn, right? And also that Mary and Joseph are by themselves having this baby, right? No man would have been allowed to have been in the birth. All the women would have come to help her to give birth. And then, you know, when the baby was born, then, of course, Joseph would have been allowed in there. But it wasn't like he was helping her give birth. So the family surround them, and the women help Mary give birth. And then the wrapping in swaddling clothes, too. We were taught, most of us were taught, that the swaddling clothes were because he was a king, right? And he was salted and then wrapped up in the swaddling clothes. But the swaddling clothes were not anything unusual. All babies were wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they would dip the linen in salt water and then wrap the baby up. And that's how they took care of newborn babies. And we even still do something similar, because if you go to a birthing, you know, to the hospital, you see the little newborns wrapped up tightly with cloth, right? And they call it a burrito, you know? and they wrap them all up with that because they need to be warm and they need to feel like they're protected, right? So the swaddling clothes are not a sign, and I'll show you that in a second. This is a picture that's in one of my customs books that shows that the area where the animals were, see, is down below the main room of the house. Like this one shows that it's attached, but sometimes it would have been a separate room. And then how they hung the baby in and look at the swaddling clothes. That's the main thing I wanted you to see. It's so cute, isn't it? But see, this is a picture of everyday life at the time in Israel. There was nothing unusual about this birth as far as the way it happened, right? The fact that it was Jesus the Messiah is the cool part about it. But it's really a very humble picture of the common way that people had babies in that day. And I just think that makes it even more beautiful. Okay, so you saw there she bore her firstborn son. Because there was no room for them, there was no guest chamber. Okay, what about the shepherds? Ooh. And behold, an angel.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The manger was in the house, though?
Well, it was probably another room,
okay.
An attached room,
okay.
Where the animals were kept. But it was attached to the main room of the house so that they could go back and forth and take care of the animals without having to go outside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And why did they dip the swaddling cloth in salt water? Is that like purifying or something?
Yeah, I think just to heal their skin, you know, when the birthing process.
Okay.
Yeah. But even up until like the 1900s in the Middle East, they were doing swaddling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would it be wet? Or is it a dry cloth?
Well, just a damp. It would be damp so that it would get formed around the baby. Yeah. Not soaking wet.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so, and behold, an angel of God came to them. Oh, he didn't fly out of the sky. Oops. And the glory of the Lord shone on them, and they were very afraid. So the Old Syriac says, there appeared an angel of the Lord standing by them. So that's even cooler. Like, he's not like flying out of the sky and all of a sudden... Angels usually just come up to you and they look like men most of the time. So that's what happened. There was just an angel of the Lord standing by them. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I announce to you great joy that will be to all the world. Joy to the world. That one is pretty accurate. Okay, so the angel's not coming flying out of the sky. He's actually just walking up, and one angel first. Okay, so here's the tradition that it was at night, too. Okay, so you see that, verse 8, and there were shepherds in that region who were abiding there and keeping watch over their flocks at night. At night is in the Peshitta, but it's not in the Old Syriac. And the reason we know that it's not at night is that shepherds did not have their sheep out in the middle of the night outside watching over them. And this is the fall of the year, right? So it's not winter either, but there were fields that surrounded Bethlehem. Bethlehem is only about 5 miles from Jerusalem, a little bit south into the east of Jerusalem. So the fields that were in between Jerusalem and Bethlehem actually belonged to the Levites. And that's where they took care of the temple sheep that were used in the sacrifices. And there's a teaching in the book called The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, where I learned that these were probably Levites who were taking care of the sheep that were for the temple. And so it was very likely that they also were very knowledgeable of the scriptures about how the Messiah would come. Like, why did God send the angel to those particular shepherds? Because they were expecting it. And they were looking for the Messiah to come. And so they're not totally surprised when the angel comes and tells them, he's born. You can go see him. It's just really neat to think about it like that. So the tradition is that they were just ordinary shepherds and they were watching the flock by night. But the truth is it was during the day. The Levites were in the fields by Bethlehem and one angel comes to them. And this is what the angel says. This is the coolest part of the whole teaching. Okay. For today, the Deliverer, who is the Lord, the Messiah, is born to you in the city of David. So there is another Peshitta manuscript, a variant reading, which says, the Deliverer, who is the Messiah of the Lord. See how Lord is capitals? That means it's talking about God. So he's not God, but he is the Messiah of God. He is the Deliverer, the anointed one who was promised in the Old Testament. That's what the angel told them, is he's here. He's actually born. And then it goes on to say, this shall be a sign to you, right? And this is a sign to you. You will find a baby who's wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Well, I thought every baby had swaddling clothes, right? Okay, so this is so neat. The word sign in Aramaic is spelled A-T-A, Ata. And the word for he has come is also spelled A-T-A. And that's what happened was they took it to be a sign instead of he has come. So if you read it correctly, it is for today the deliverer who is the Messiah of the Lord is born to you in the city of David. And he has come to you. You will find the baby who's wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. So here's the way you can read it. Behold, he has come to you. So how would the shepherds find the baby if the swaddling clothes are not a sign? What? The whole family. So because it's during the day, the shepherds could go into Bethlehem and they knew where the house of David lived, the area of the city. Like Bethlehem is not this tiny little village either. It's a pretty big city at this time. And so they went to the area where the family of David lived, and it was just a simple matter of calling out, where's the newborn baby? And that's how they found it. Okay, so let's go back to what the shepherds heard. This is really neat, too. And suddenly, after the one angel comes up, right, and announces that the deliverer is born, suddenly the great host of heaven appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, so it's a host and many, a great host of heaven, right? A host and many angels of heaven. So all of a sudden now there's many angels that are there, right? And they say this together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and a good hope to men. Now, you know, King James's favor and goodwill, right? Or goodwill. Peace and goodwill. Well, this word for hope here, the old Syriac says it's the word reconciliation. And the word reconciliation has its root verb to shepherd. It means shepherding. Reconciliation means shepherding. So the angels are telling the shepherds that the shepherd has come. Isn't that awesome? And he's going to bring reconciliation to the sons of men. So they're not singing, they're proclaiming. And it's not peace and goodwill, it's peace and reconciliation to the sons of men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and reconciliation to the sons of men. So the angels, they don't appear to all the famous people in Jerusalem. They don't go appear to Herod. They don't appear to the high priest. They don't appear to any other Levites except for these people who were taking care of sheep. So they knew what a shepherd was. And they knew what it would take for Jesus to be the shepherd. They must have been wonderful believing men for God to send it to them. So this is what happens then after that is it happened that after the angels had gone away from them to heaven, the shepherds spoke with each other and said, well, let's go. Let us journey to Bethlehem and see this matter that has happened as the Lord has made known to us. And they came quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laid in the manger. And after they had seen him, they made known the message that had been told to them about the child. So the shepherds were faithful to bring this word of comfort to Joseph and Mary that this baby was very, very special. And can you imagine? Well, you know, you're very fragile after you give birth. So Mary was probably wondering, you know, well, is this for real here? It's a baby. A newborn baby. How can this baby be the deliverer, you know? And so God sends this message to the shepherds to go and comfort them both and say, yes, no, he is the one. He's the deliverer. And he's going to bring shepherding to all men. And, you know, the women were helping Mary, but their family still did believe that she had gotten pregnant out of wedlock. And so it must have also been astounding to the rest of the family, too, of like, oh, no, you don't have to go that direction here. You can really understand that this baby is going to be the Messiah that's promised. So then all who heard it marveled at those things that were spoken to them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these words and was pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard as it was told to them. So we can speak about these things too now. See, Jesus Christ is no longer a baby, right? He's the risen Lord seated next to the right hand of the throne of God, ever living to make intercession for us. He's the deliverer already come, and he's coming again. And that's our message. Just like it brought Mary and Joseph hope, the message to the shepherds brought hope because the angel told them, yes, the deliverer has come. And that's our message too. We can have this new kind of Christmas pageant where Joseph and Mary come to Bethlehem with their relatives. And while they're there, the city's so full of visitors that they have to stay in a humble part of the house. But Mary's taken care of when she has the baby. And there's great rejoicing over the birth of the Son. And then the shepherds come to visit and tell of this majestic report from a host of heavenly angels that the deliverer has come. So they can't help but go and broadcast everything that they heard. And that song about joy to the world, the Lord has come. That's probably one of the most accurate carols there is. So maybe we can sing that one to close with, huh? You have any more questions?
I have two.
Yes.
It went from one angel to a bunch of angels. I think it was verse 13.
What?
Verse 13.
It says, yes, the great hosts of heaven, yeah.
Okay, so there were more angels. And then where were the shepherds? Because they said, let us come to Bethlehem, where were they?
They were in the fields watching out over there.
It was during
the day.
Yes, so this would have been the following day, kind of?
Well, I mean, they had to leave some shepherd there to watch the sheep.
Yes,
so
right.
There was more than just one shepherd. So,
no, right.
So yeah, it was during the day. They were watching their sheep. The angels come, and then they do this proclamation, and then they go, well, we need to go see the baby.
Oh, I see.
So they go in the day. They would not have gone to a stranger's house in the middle of the night. They shut the door, and you can't go visiting at night. So that's why the at night part isn't in there either.
And that's why the swaddling clothes were on the baby for a while. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, they used to say,
oh, yeah, no.
It's wrapped for only 30 minutes. No, it's like,
no,
it's
they
like
kept...
today, a blanket, it's wrapped because they went the following day. He was born. You know, right after the sunset, I guess.
No, he's born during the day, in the morning. And the shepherds get told during the day, so they go during the day.
So then that astronomical sign, then, of when you were born.
Yeah, it was after the fact.
Sunset and moonset, right? Between sunset and moonset. That's not...
Well, that's part of the star stuff.
Right.
But that's not about when he was born exactly. He had to be born during the day, or if you're right, it could have been the night before.
Well, I guess theoretically.
Yeah, I think it seems to me like to fit with the star stuff. He'd have been born when, you know, the night before, but then they came the following morning.
Well, because I'm sure also like within because the first
few hours.
Because I mean,
the baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes, obviously.
Like as a brand new, like as the first few hours of him being born, I'm sure they're not like. Oh, let's let random visitors come in and see him, I'm sure.
Exactly.
I guess it kind of makes sense.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Mm. They would have gone into
the world. Yeah, I haven't studied the connections in a long time.
It seems
so.
To me like it makes more sense than holiday.
Yeah. Cool. Well, anyway, the angels don't come in the nighttime.
No.
Because they go right away to go visit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you want to sing Joy to the World?
Yes.
Number 92. Okay.